Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Bridge Atlantic's interviews, where we get to know the people behind and in front of the creative industries. We're your hosts, music web designer Ross Barber-Smith from Scotland, owner of Electric Kiwi, where we create awesome custom websites for bands, artists and musicians. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook as Electric Kiwi.
And I'm singer-songwriter and multi-instrumentalist Marcin Novelli from Canada, a man who wears many hats, literally and figuratively. When I'm not releasing music under my own name or my side project, Midnight Soundtrack, I'm producing and mixing records for other artists or directing and editing music videos and music documentaries. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook as my name, Marcin Novelli.
Yep, and our new shirts have arrived. I say they're new, they're not so new, but they're still... Hopefully,
well,
awesome.
They're new to the person buying it. So, I mean,
well,
it's new.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, you don't wear every single
like,
shirt.
I'm sure if I go buy a shirt in a store, it may have sat there for like 2 years. So it's still new to me, you know, unless it's like literally hot off the press, Ross. Jeez.
Stop ruining my flow.
This went dark. Yeah. This went dark.
It did. It did. Anyway, if you're still interested in our shirts after us rambling about them for longer than we should have, they are available to purchase on our website. There's a link to it in our show notes, so go and get
them. I'll lighten it up a little bit by saying that you get 10% off if you use the coupon code BTARocks. Just our way of saying thanks, gracias, you rock. Any of those synonyms, kind of synonyms. What would you call those? Like, I don't know. I'm crazy.
Stop talking.
Our guest who's waiting here, he hasn't spoken yet. He's not allowed to speak. We tell our guest, do not speak during the intro.
He's been silenced.
This is our like 2 minutes to just go off. And he's probably just thinking, oh no, what have I gotten myself into? So speaking of this guest,
this guest who's probably sitting bored to tears and hating both of us right now. He's a man from Vancouver. He's music producer and engineer Garth Richardson. He's worked with some of the biggest names in rock, including Rage Against the Machine, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Nickelback, Trapped, one of my favorite bands, Biffy Clyro, Rise Against, and even Taylor Swift.
Just a few. Garth is also the co-founder of the Nimbus School of Recording Arts, a private technical music production institute, and is the owner of The Farm Studios, which is, I would say, the famous Farm Studios. We're really excited to welcome him to the show and learn more about his career and the advice he'd offer to musicians and aspiring producers. So honored to welcome Garth to the show. How's it going, man?
Good. First of all, rock and roll does not start at 8 a.m., okay?
Yeah.
I got my house coat on, you know, I got, you know, like... You guys,
know,
8
right?
a.m., stop
well,
this.
Well, actually, you know, initially we did offer you a 7 a.m. slot, and you quickly told us The Rock definitely
does not start at 7. No. It sucks. It sucks.
This is true. Well, you know what? We're gonna put that 8 a.m. mind to use and ask you to tell us three things about yourself
foggy.
That everyone should know.
Okay, three things about me is I've been doing this now for 44 years. My father used to make records. He did These Eyes Laughing Undone, American Woman, Bob Seger, Night Moves. He did Alice Cooper, Love It to Death. I got to grow up watching him make actually records for years and years and years. I got to watch the first Peter Gabriel record being made live off the floor. So that was a blast. That was just absolutely the best thing in the world. I don't like to lose. I think that's the other thing is, you know, it's when I work, I push and I push and I push. Because I want to be great. I don't want any record I do to sound like shit, I guess you could say.
Yes, we were going to get into that already, but your dad is, I guess I would call him a legend.
Yeah.
He is. He really is. And, you know, to grow up around that, I just can't imagine that. I'd be shocked if you didn't go into that industry.
I was going to ask how you got started in the music industry, but you grew up within the music industry, I would say. Can you remember your first production or engineering gig?
Well, my first second engineering gig was Bob Seger Night Moves. The band had left. My dad had to do four songs. Bob had two. They were mixing the two. My dad came down to get Bob, and Bob was actually playing this song on the piano. My dad stopped and listened, and I went, "That's a really good song." And he came in the room and said, "Bob, what's this song that you're playing?" And he says, "I fucking hate it. It's a piece of shit." And he begins to play Night Moves. My dad said, "That's a hit. We're going to do it." A whole band showed up. I was the guy bringing in the microphones and getting everything set up for it. And that was my first actual break. And I was actually, I think I was at the time actually 15. So I began that. Yeah. I was just this little kid. And I went, "Wow, this is great." You know.
Well, you know, I guess what I want to ask you then, were you ever overly impressed by the people around in a way? Because you're so used to it. They're just people.
Yeah.
Right.
What? They were all normal, fucked up people. You know what? You have to realize that, we are all absolutely crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So nobody ever wanted a actual real job.
Well, you know what? Speaking of producing, you started at such an early age, and
yes.
Got to learn from not only was your dad a producer, but one of the best. You know, you got to learn from him. So fast forward many decades to right now, like you can give us three main criteria you listen for when choosing to produce a new artist.
Okay. Number one is song. There has to be songs. Number two, the singer has to be a star. If he isn't a star, then you're done. He has no songs. And you also have to have drive. Because you know what? There's a lot of bands now that just sit around and they're up all night drinking and partying. And then when it comes time to doing what it takes now, because, way back when, the bands used to have the label guy show up, get them up out of bed, get them dressed, get them in the van, go somewhere. Now it's like, guys, you kind of have to get off your ass, right? So
exactly.
You know, it's called, guys, get off your phone, pick up your guitar, and write songs, you know, and they're all on the laptops and they're all on their, things. So things are actually really, really actually kind of different now. You know, back then there weren't any cell phones. There really weren't any computers. You worked. Mm-hmm. Now it's like guys are getting drum sounds. They're on their phone. Mm-hmm. Like this. And they're getting, hitting the drum phones and doing like stuff. It's like, guys, put down your phones,
No, exactly. Actually, a friend of mine is an engineer producer too. We've had him on the show before.
Okay.
Darren Madurowski. Actually, he loves your work.
Thank you.
He recently went on I don't know what you'd call it, but he went up to Paris and worked with one of his favorite producers of all time. I can't remember what his name is right now. He's one of the top. And he said that apparently the rule was there was no cell phones allowed in the studio. You'd get kicked out of there. There's no set. Like, you can keep in your room, but not when you're in there. I mean,
fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that rule.
Yeah, you should create that rule.
Yeah. I have a similar rule in my house.
Do you?
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, I hate when people are on their phone, like if you're trying to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. So I've got a new thing, and it's called the phone police. So if I see someone is on their phone, it's woo woo. And you don't say anything. Just wait and see if they pick up and they're like, "Oh shit, sorry," and then put their phone down.
I have to tell my wife that one, because my dear wife hates me when I'm on my phone. Because I'll be having a conversation, and then also I'll go squirrel, and I'm like, on my phone.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's like, "Put your phone down. I'm here," right? So the one thing that my dad actually taught me. Be an engineer, not an engine-eye.
Oh, I like that.
And everybody nowadays, they are always looking at the screen. Yeah. This doesn't look right. It's like, no. How does it sound? I don't know.
Huh. I love that. You know? Well, especially because, again, you did grow up in the generation where you guys weren't using DAWs. You guys were using the whole console and mixing board. It was about the ears. Sure, you had your levels, but that was basically the only visual you had, right?
Visuals were these little meters.
Meters. Like,
You would be looking at the meters, and then you would listen to the sound. You know,
exactly. I totally am guilty of this at looking at, oh, you know, is it the same level? Okay, is it, you know, I do look at things when I'm producing. So I like that a lot. I really, really do.
I just did this record with a band called Big Wreck.
Oh, wow.
We didn't use the screen. We used our ears. We did it live off the floor, drums and bass and a few guitar parts. We did not cut it up. We did it all. We just said, play it. If it's wrong, play it again and again and again. We also mixed it manually.
Oh, really? Oh, you know what? I think I heard you talking about this.
Yeah. Because you know what? I am getting tired of everyone using this thing called a mouse. And it's like, you know what? Use your hands. Make it look like you're playing. Say something. So I am actually going back to the old days of use your ears, not your eyes. Stop looking at the screen. Stop using this little ball to make your moves. Use a fader. You know, make it real, because everything sounds the same now. Every record that I've heard, it's just like it sounds like every other record, because everyone is actually using this actual wave plugin, this UA plugin, and it's all becoming flat, linear, with no depth. You know what? It's just sad.
And using like the same five mixing engineers, as great as they are, they're using the same ones because they want that exact sound
This
exact band has. But there are so many talented producers, engineers, mixing engineers out there that together we can make a new, unique sound.
Not that I need
to tell you that, but you know.
And somebody has to pass a law that each band can only have 3 recalls per song. Not 1,000 or 500 or, you know, would you turn the hi-hat hit up in bar 85? Yeah, 0.5, because I just feel that the one hi-hat hit, and then you get the mix back, and they go, okay, great. Now, you know, and it's like, it just goes on and on and on and on. And it's like, guys, we did this big rec record to where we get it all up and going. We all have people at the console with their moves. After basically, after pass 5, we were like, okay, it's done.
Wow.
Finished.
Can we apply that law to web and graphic design too?
Right.
It's the 1 pixel. If we could can you move over half a pixel? Is that
my good friend Nick Blagona? I'm sure that you're familiar with.
I know Nick well.
He's
a crazy man.
He's absolutely nuts.
Love him. But the guy's a fucking nut. It's great.
I love him. He engineered and mixed my last record, and he was very sweet. It was my debut full length, so he was very my debut full length solo album, and he was very patient with me.
And I did
plenty of recalls that were minor things. A couple of things was more preference, like I like to have a drummer perspective. That's just things that he's like, oh yeah, no worries. A couple of things like, okay, Marcio, you got one more, so you better put your list together properly. He gave me 3. I had 3, and I was happy. Very, very happy. But yeah, I mean, there are personal preferences and stuff So I'm just sitting here smirking. I'm like, sorry, guys. I've been that guy, and I probably
will
again.
It's you. It's you. Yeah, okay.
But at least I understand production and mixing everything, too. So the way I explain it is very clear, and I'm not talking about 0.5. I'm talking about, you know,
I did this one thing with this one band. I told them that they got 3 yekshi things that they could say. After that, $20 per actually comment. I got a call from the manager and said, "Oh, dude, joking, but just kind of play, you know, like along with it." And I made so much money. And then at the end, I said, "Here, guys, get your money back." The biggest ego in the room should be the song. It should not be the hi-hat needs to be a bit louder. You know, this part over here, you know, it's, you know, stuff. It's, you know, it's about, you know, whoever is actually singing what he's saying. And that should supersede everything else. You always make sure that the drummer cannot comment on his parts. The bass player cannot comment on his parts. Comment on this song, So that's just my old school there.
You're such a well of knowledge, and it makes sense that you would open up the Nimbus School of Recording Arts.
Yeah.
So we do want to talk a little bit about that.
I was going to say the old school is the best school. But now from the old school to the new school.
Nimbus School
of Recording Arts. Yeah. You teach both the practical and the business skills that people need to make a living in today's music industry. Is there one particular question that your students seem to have? Is like one common thing that everyone struggles with or doesn't know the answer to that maybe you can answer for us just now?
Wow. Okay. They come in with zero knowledge of the past. Some kids do not even know who Mr. George Martin is. They're like, who's he? And I go, he did the Beatles. Oh yeah, the Beatles. And you can name all these people, right? So we actually make them do songs from 1950. They get 4 tracks. They do a song from 1960. They get 8 tracks. They do a song from the 70s. They do 16 tracks. We make them go back and to show them how hard it was to make songs back with only this many mics, this many tracks. And they only want to bust out they only have to do their actual kind of laptop. And they go, look at, I can bust this out on a laptop. But you have to understand about sounds, and you have to understand about mixing balances, and you have to understand about mixing starts from the first sound that you get. And they come in very kind of green. I was that way too. I came in, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. So everybody started off that way, right? So like our goal is to teach them, to be great, to know how to be in a room, because so many kids now think because they could turn on something. I'm great at this. I'm going to tell you that. And it's like, no, shh, quiet. Don't talk. Keep your mouth shut. Keep quiet. Because you know what? There's a guy in the room that has sold 170 million records, and you've sold 10 copies, right? So that's the thing that we want them to learn is to, hang. Be cool. Hang. Be nice.
I love that.
Yeah.
Are you ready for 20 questions?
Let's go.
Let's do this. Coffee or tea?
Right here, coffee.
Tea.
Meat or veggies?
Meat.
Twitter. Yes. Twitter or Facebook?
Oh, shit. You know what? It's Twitter.
Now, I think I know the answer to this one already.
Okay. Yeah.
Hockey or basketball?
Please. Hockey.
Toronto Maple Leafs.
Come on. I knew it.
Analog or digital?
You know what? Analog. You know why? Warmth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You really can't replicate it.
No.
Education or experience?
Both. Yeah, Canada? You have to have both.
Canada or Scotland?
Oh, now come on now. I got a lot of, you know what? Wow, you know what? Pass. Next. I don't want to
offend. You've used your one pass. We don't normally give passes out.
Oh, really?
We'll make an exception.
Okay, then, you know what?
Bear in mind that you've used this pass already. Right?
Wow.
You've used it already.
Wow, okay. Pressure on him.
Okay, go.
CD or vinyl?
Vinyl.
Simpsons or Family Guy?
Family Guy.
Talent or attitude?
Attitude.
Live or studio when it comes to production engineering?
Studio.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Wars.
All right, here's another instrument. Roland or Yamaha?
I would have to say Roland.
Batman or Superman?
Batman.
Mac or PC?
Mac.
Michael Jackson or Michael Bolton?
Yeah.
Well, my sorry, my dad did Michael actually Bolton.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Wow.
So what? Ross is losing his mind here.
Oh, okay, but yeah. But he was spelled Bloton.
What?
Oh yeah.
Why was he spelled Bloton?
Because that was his name.
Oh.
And then somebody went, "We got to change it to Michael Bolton."
Are you for
because,
real?
Because yeah. I do actually have it on vinyl.
Oh,
I can't
no
find
way.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Oh, no hey, way. It's hey, okay.
We're so jealous right now.
Okay. Hey, next.
So wait. Is Michael Bolton the answer then?
Yes, of course.
Wow.
Come on.
I got one.
Come on.
Wow. Celine Dion or Marilyn Manson?
Oh, you know what? I would have to say Celine Dion.
There you go.
Okay.
Whale or kale?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he likes to pronounce his H's.
Now, remember, I said you
couldn't
pass. I know this is a really tough one for most people.
No, you know what? Give me the whale.
Well, you're out west. I mean, you probably see them all the time.
Yeah.
There you go. Bette Midler or the Riddler?
Oh, you know what? Bette Midler.
Okay.
Your final question.
Okay.
He did use his pass already, didn't he, Ross?
Yep, you already used the pass, you know.
Okay.
We're not going to forget to remind you of that.
Okay.
We're going to ask you to pick between Ross, this guy, or Marcio, that guy.
Ross.
Oh my god.
Is that good?
That was very good for me.
Okay.
No, so good for Marcio.
I'm going to share something with you guys. Today, usually I lobby each guest. I'm like, look, this is why you should pick me. And today I was going to be like, look, Garth, you know, I contacted you over a decade ago. And, you know, I'm sure we'll work together at some point. And, you know, I'm a musician and we got so many things in common. So then I'm like, I'm not going to say that today. I'm going to try where I don't lobby the guest and maybe I'll win. But nope.
You know why? Because he's Scottish.
Oh,
that goes
wow.
That goes back to my past.
Oh.
Right,
oh
right. See,
you know.
No, you'll win one day.
What's the odds? What's the odds? How
well,
many times
odds,
have you
I'd
lost?
I'd probably say this is. We've done about 120 interviews. I'd say maybe I got 20 of them.
No, right? You've had more than
okay,
that.
Okay, well,
you've had
we
more
also got
that.
Some ties, so maybe
a tie?
I got,
oh, a tie?
Maybe I got
a tie?
30. Maybe I got 30. I don't know.
Okay,
we'll have to tally.
One day
we challenge our listeners to tally it up. Maybe the first person who tallies it up. What do you think, Ross? They get a free shirt or something? I think that's
yeah,
fair.
Let's do that.
First person who tallies up and tells us, you know, who actually is the bigger loser gets a free shirt. There you go.
The bigger loser. No, I mean,
well,
we know
I am, but it's just a matter of how much of a big loser I am.
Yeah, you're not a loser. You're not a loser.
Thank you, Garth.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
What advice? I want some advice from you now. What advice can you offer artists who are looking for the right producer, whether it's you or another producer out there? Because at the end of the day, like you said, it is about the song, it's about the album, and the artists are going to producer to that. It should be who's best for that song and album, songs or album. You know, some people work with multiple producers per album. How can they find someone who's going to be the best fit for them?
Because somebody that will actually say, I am there to help them make their record. When somebody comes in and says, this is my record, I'm going to tell you what to do. Run away as fast as you can, because every single record I've done, I always make sure that it sounds like them. I hate when you put on someone's going, oh, well, what's his name did this record? Oh, what's his name did this record? Because they put their actual stamp on it, and that's wrong. Because you know what? I want to hear that band's record. So make sure that you pick somebody that isn't there to make their record through that band, you know?
Would that also apply to mixing engineers, do you think?
Yes.
Or is that a little different,
no? No. Mixing is a whole new beast. You want to get somebody that's going to make it sound great on actually radio.
Okay, right.
But you also have to make sure that he's not going to make it horrible. You know,
yeah, because
you know,
some mixed engineers will completely reamp things and just make basically should have just been line in and they could have done it.
True.
And this kind of leads on from that question. So once an artist has picked their producer and they're heading into the studio, what should they do to make sure that they're as prepared as possible? And what do you find helpful from a producer's perspective?
Okay, ready? Practice. Practice. And also, do not put a date down thinking that that's when you're going to go in. Make sure that, that you're ready. You got to have the songs. I usually spend like a lot of time just having the bass player. Bass player and the drummer playing. And they're like going, oh, is that what you're playing? Oh, well, I'm playing this. You know, spend it outside of the room and make sure that they know what they're playing. The songs are great. They know it backwards, right? So, you know, that's my feeling.
And then to flip that, like, how about for producers who want to work with bands? You know, what should they be doing to get those first few clients and to build a good reputation for themselves?
You know what? Show up hungry, offer things for free. Mm-hmm. You know, I did it. I did the Bullet Boys first, actually demos, which actually got them signed. I didn't make a penny, right? Oh, wow. You have to start at the bottom, mm-hmm. you know, and just offer for free.
And I'm sure you were thinking long-term, right? What that's going to...
Okay, of course. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And there's a reason you're still doing it today.
Yeah. Exactly. Because you know what? You know why? You know what? Nobody ever wants to work. You know what? It's like, I've never had a job. I get to rock and roll. I get to have a blast.
Well, not in the morning, though. Yeah. Not in the morning, Garth.
You know what? You have to go back and have a nap. You have to go have and have a nap now soon, Shirley, right? You know. This is so horrible.
For producers listening right now, you know, every producer has their own different little things they do that, you know, I know you're big about giving the artist what it needs, of course, but, you know, some producers go to an extreme of recording each drum hit by itself just to get those isolated sounds, which doesn't sound like it's something that would be up your alley.
It's not.
So is there something that, you know, an artist that's working with you that's maybe worked with 5-6 other producers, they would look at you and be like, oh, you do this actually a little bit differently than somebody else. Yeah. Or, you know, even if it's going back to how it used to be, you know what I mean? What's something a little different about how you work?
You know what? My main thing is to get the band, to get them to play properly as a band. To make sure, because you know what, the most important thing is the singer. Everything else has to she has to sit right in the middle. And I get the drummer now to sing as he's actually playing. I said, when you're singing the song, you can only keep time. Because most drummers are like, the singer's singing and the drummer's doing all this, you know, the fills.
It's not accompanying anymore.
You know, and it's like, dude, it isn't about you. It's about the singer. Because you know what?
Right.
Nobody goes to a actual John Bon Jovi show. And, you know, when they go to the, you know, Living on a Prayer. And, you know, John was there. There was like 90,000 people. The band stops. John throws through, you know, like his mic, and 90,000 people are going, bah, boo, boo, bah. It does not happen.
They're sorry to singing. All the drummers listening.
Yeah, no. But they are singing the fucking lyric, right? So do spend a lot of time making sure that is what is being heard. And everything else has to fit.
Well, how about if a solo artist, like myself, for example, is coming to you as a solo artist, no band behind him or her. Right. You know, how do you approach that? Do you ever, do you always feel the need to have a band even for a solo artist or, you know?
No, it's just a different style.
Yeah.
Different style, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because then that way you have to build it up differently.
Yeah. You know? And it's okay because it's about that one artist rather than the band as a collective.
Yeah,
I think we can just keep asking you questions for like hours and hours and hours. You know, well, I guess just kind of as a final thing, you know, what would you like to say? I think because, you know, this interview, I think, is going to appeal to two groups of people, you know, particularly aspiring producers and artists who want to work with you, or, you know, want to work with producers. So, you know, what would you say to each group separately? Just really, I don't know, I guess we already kind of asked you this a little bit, but Ross, can you help me out a little bit? Like, I just want something that really speaks to each group. You know, it's, if you just had a whole bunch of them in front of you, what would you say to each group?
Okay. A very kind of actually funny story. My dad, who, when I was really young, I said, "Pops, I really have to follow you in what you're doing." He goes, "Oh, okay, son, we could have a talk." And I had a pad of paper and a pencil, and I was ready for this 3-hour fucking dissertation about, you know how to do it. And he said, "Good songs sell, bad songs don't," and leaves. And he went, "That's it." And he goes, "That's it." So you're right.
That's great.
With every band and every single producer out there, you guys have to, it isn't about this fucking plugin and this plugin and this bullshit. It's about telling a story in a song. It's about a song. It's about making someone feel. That singer is actually singing it to me. And you know what? I hate the actual music that's out now, because it's all forced. It's all basically 18, you know, somebody writing the song, and there's 18 people writing it for them. And it's like, somebody has to start going back to inside, you know, here, and just having fun, you know, but writing great songs. It's simple. You know, it doesn't matter what the snare drum sounds like, right? It doesn't. It's about the song. So that's, you know, it applies to both sides.
Absolutely.
Right? You know?
Yeah,
you know,
I don't think that you could have said anything to both sides any better than that.
Yeah. Song. It's about the fucking song. You know, funny story. And this is, of course, will like apply to you. We had the Bay City Rollers at my dad's actually studio. They came over to our house. One girl saw them getting out of our car. Within 15 minutes, we had 700 girls around our backyard screaming and yelling. My dad got out the hose and sprayed them all. "Get the fuck out of here." And he's like spraying them all. And it was just the most wildest thing. Because you know, it was just like, are you kidding me? Like 700 girls showed up at our house. And this was back pre this.
Right.
This is all, Sue, you're never going to believe this. And like, then Sue would call her friends. Yeah. And they'd call their friends, And then all of a sudden it was just like this swarm of these young girls. It was weird. you know.
I love that.
Oh, another story. And this was a little bit rude.
So oh, that's okay.
I had this band here, and I went home into the city. And I got back up here, and you know what? My team goes, "I just want to let you know that the bass player in the band, she went over to the Wendy's drive-thru, picked up the girl, brought her back, and actually banged her in your bed." And I went, "Really? Oh, dude, really?" I said, "Okay, does he know?" "No, he doesn't know." "Okay, do not tell him that I know." So that night, I went over to his bed. And you know how you get those hedge, you know, the things that you do to your hair? Like the
buzzers? Right? Oh, yeah, the buzzers.
Buzzers. Yeah. I went over to his bed, pulled down my pants, and I literally cleaned every bit of hair around all of my lower parts, and I sprinkled it all over his pillow. It gets better. The very next morning, we're all up on the deck and it's sunny, and he comes over and he literally sits down, and in his eyebrows, on his face, in his hair, on his shirt, I am all over him. Right? I just basically, just went, like, dude, you don't go into my room,
right,
and have veggie sex in mine, in my bed.
Right.
Offside. So, you know what? I got him back.
So that was that might be some of the best revenge I've ever
had. Yeah. So you know that one. Let's see if I can.
I don't know if you can talk about one, but we'll see.
well, I did. I did. I actually had my engineer, when it was my actual birthday, we went out to the strip club, and I was up on the dance floor, and 17 girls lined up to give me the actual paddy wax. And all of a sudden, the first girl slaps me, happy birthday. Yeah, the next girl takes off my belt and kind of hits me in the back with the belt. I'm like, oh, that's kind of hurt. The actual next girl was a full dominatrix, thing. And she hit me and she went, whack, came back. I went, oh, that kind of hurt. But it kind of, actually was like, oh, okay, good, cool. This next girl just unleashed the belt as hard as she could. My, actually shirt ripped. Oh. Had a welt on my back, this big, blood everywhere. I'm in tears. I went, let go, that hurt. So my friend, who actually set this all up, my engineer, just kind of was looking at me, he was in tears laughing, and I said, I will get you back. So 9 years later, I'm in Queens, and every day these two New York City beat cops came by to have lunch, there, right? They were metal fans. They love metal. So, of course, I'm actually talking to them. So I go, hey, guys, I'd like you to do me a big favor. What? Well, my engineer's coming here in about actually maybe three days. Would you mind pretending to take him back to, like he is here with no visa? Would you mind taking him back to the airport? So he comes in the day and he's working away, and these two fully clothed New York City, with guns and batons, they had a paper with his name on it. And they, into the room, would you be Mr., blah, blah, blah. And he said, yes, I am. Well, as it turns out, somebody actually called us. You got to go back to Canada. You are being, being thrown out of the States. And I was in cuffs up against the wall, and I was being frisked, and he's walking down the hallway, and he's like, yeah, I've known Garth for a long time, and he was literally shaking, shitting his pants. He was being thrown out of the States. And I turned around in and actually full, cuffs, and went, sir, you have been punked. And he was literally shaking his hands. Like, he was literally, like, for like 3 days, he was just, he could not believe it. So
the lesson here is, don't piss off Garth, because wait nearly a decade to get back to you.
I'm going to wait 9 years.
You hold out for a long game. 9 years.
Well, you got
sometimes
to.
Sometimes you have to, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You are just you're one hell of a guy, man. Where can people find you online?
You know what? They can find me at www.gggarth.com.
And you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes, and YouTube. Don't forget to visit our site and pick up one of our shirts while you're there.
Yeah, that's right. And as for me, I'm working on my second solo album, and you can be a part of it at marcinovelli.com/pledge. I also recently released an acoustic EP called The Reimagining. Go check it out. Make sure to follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Spotify, which again are my name, Marcio Novelli.
And I'm working on websites for various arts at the moment, and you can check out my work at electrickiwi.co.uk. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram as Electric Kiwi, and on Facebook, Electric Kiwi Design.
Yeah, and this episode was brought to you by Chris Keaton, Joe Centenary, The Rockstar Advocate, Buck Naked Soap Company, 30 Roses, Wendy Donaldson, and Social Surge. All links are in the show notes, so please check them out because they keep the show alive.
And if you want to help keep this show's heart pumping, then visit patreon.com/bridgetheatlantic. You can sponsor us from as little as $1 per episode all the way up to our top tier package, which you get a free shirt in. You know, I'm just talking about these shirts all the time. I just can't stop talking about them. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes so you don't miss any episodes. And also leave us a comment while you're at it and let us know what you think of the show.
We're near the end of the interview here because Ross's dog is jumping around and antsy and looking, he's coming on the camera.
He's trying to get on the camera. He's trying to get on the desk. He's not quite
there. He wants to say bye to Garth. So we'll say bye to Garth for you. Garth, honestly, man, thanks so much for coming on. Is Loki going to come say hi? Okay, there we go.
Oh, he's so cute.
Oh,
he's not going to
Oh, Loki, come on now.
Oh, it's amazing.
Garth, seriously though, man, this has been great. Thanks so much for coming on. And we truly appreciate it.
Good. Peace
Thanks
out.
So
okay. My dad did actually Manowar. And he came up, they came up with the saying, death to actually false metal. So
oh, there you go.
Death to false metal. Rock and roll does not start at 8. It's noon.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Bridge the Atlantic. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes.
You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So connect with us on there and let us know what you think of the show.
Thanks for being awesome, and we'll see you next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.